Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 16, Wise Up, Different Types of Wisdom. Godly wisdom is the skill to live our lives in such a way that pleases God in our choices and behavior. Wisdom is not simply information, but rather it is scriptural knowledge that we put into daily practice. Godly wisdom is making wise choices in all areas of our lives. Our thoughts, words, deeds, beliefs, behavior, responses, attitudes, and motives in the many affairs of life. The foundation of godly wisdom is the understanding of God's character. Therefore, a wise person builds their life and decisions based upon God's sovereign, unshakable wisdom, and they continually apply it. When we walk in godly wisdom, we can prevent unnecessary hardships. We will still encounter trials and difficult decisions we must make, but godly wisdom is our guide to living our lives in an effective way, no matter what situations we are in. Today, we will mostly be talking about the book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom that gives us the comparison of wise or foolish decisions and the blessings or consequences because of those. Proverbs 1, verse 2, to know wisdom. The book of Proverbs teaches us how to have knowledge and godly wisdom in our thoughts, words, actions, decisions, and behavior. It warns us to be discerning by gathering godly wisdom. So godly wisdom is for our good. Wisdom in the Hebrew, chokmah, is described as the knowledge and the ability to make consistent, right godly choices because of spiritual maturity by practicing the Word of God. Godly wisdom is not simply theoretical knowledge, but rather it is the discernment of knowing between right and wrong, good and evil, wise and foolish. Godly wisdom always includes the fear of the Lord with humility. Then we can obtain scriptural knowledge and walk in a wise way with discernment on how to be faithful to God's ways. Godly wisdom emphasizes understanding of ultimate things, such as life and death, God and man, righteousness and sin, heaven and hell, eternity and time. Jewish understanding is that it is not possible for a person to acquire wisdom through their own intelligence or schooling shown with educational degrees. True godly wisdom is attained through studying the Word of God and putting it into practice, along with learning from sages, older, wiser, godly people. A degree, if desired, can be useful only if it is based solely and wholly on the Word of God and its true meaning. But this is not absolutely necessary in order for a person to become wise in the ways of God. Anyone that seeks God's wisdom can be wise when they understand it and also apply it in what they think, say, and do. What does Jesus say about being a doer of godly wisdom? Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Jesus is telling us we not only need to hear God's words of wisdom, but we need to also put them into practice. Godly wisdom needs to be a lifestyle and not just a sometimes and other times we don't apply it. Godly wisdom needs to be a part of our daily endeavor for us personally, but also for us to be effective and influential in the lives of others for the kingdom of God, which matters for all eternity. Ephesians 1, verses 16 through 17, Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. We need to pray for wisdom, not only for ourselves, but also for others. The reason for this is so that we can know God better. Knowing God's character, his goodness, his power, and his ways is what wisdom is all about. How can we become wise if we don't know the God of wisdom? We can't just get wisdom all on our own effort. We need the power of God, the power of what Christ did on the cross for us, salvation by faith, and the help of the Holy Spirit along with the Word of God to give us godly wisdom. Okay, that was just food for thought. But now we're going to go deeper into the meanings of three different types of wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. What are the three kinds of wisdom found in Proverbs? First, kakam, wisdom. This is being wise in how to deal with people and in relationships. It's having godly people skills. Second, banei, wisdom. This is being wise in how to make choices in life because of the understanding you reap what you sow. Third, sakal, wisdom. This is being wise in the ability to see life through the eyes of God from his point of view, not from our perspective or the world's, but God's. Kakam, think of wisdom with people. Binei, think of wisdom in our choices. Sakal, think of wisdom with God's perspective on life situations. Kakam is about people, Binei is about us, me, and our choices. Sakal is about God. Let's dig a bit deeper into these three types of wisdom. First type of wisdom, kakam. This is wisdom in dealing with people. It is having godly knowledge from the scriptures regarding people and relationships, the general contact, communication, and choices regarding others. There are all types of people skills stated with kakam wisdom, such as you must show yourself friendly in order to make friends, or not having business dealings with certain types of people. This type of wisdom stays away from flirtatious, immoral people that can lead us down a dark path, but also not being one of those types of people. There are a lot of comparisons on how to deal in a wise or foolish way with people, as found in the book of Proverbs. It tells us what to say and what not to say, whom to say it to and whom to be silent with, activities we should or shouldn't engage in regarding relationships and people in general, how to communicate in a way that represents Christianity well, understanding how to resolve conflicts or not start them in the first place. Examples might be, don't engage in conversations if you or someone else is angry. It only produces more anger, and then words are said we can't take back. This can turn into unforgiveness and bitterness and is very detrimental to relationships such as marriage and parenting. Another example is, don't give your opinion or advice to people who do not have the want to gain wisdom. When we know whom to share with and whom not to, this prevents strife, especially with those that scoff at the ways of God. In other parts of the Bible, it tells us to speak the truth in love and even rebuke and correct when necessary. It tells us to give answers to those who ask us about biblical principles in a humble and gentle way. There are many more personal examples we will encounter throughout our lifetime and in our many relationships. The main key about Kakam wisdom is knowing what to do and what not to do in regards to people, what to say and what not to say, in order to prevent a lot of unnecessary or ongoing confusion and conflict with others. It also helps in building a good rapport with people as they see how we use godly people skills. These verses in Proverbs are especially speaking about Kakam wisdom. There are many more. Proverbs 10, verse 31, "The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom," wise people skills. Proverbs 12, 18, "There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise," those wise in dealing with people, "brings healing." Proverbs 14, verse 1, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands," her own words. This wise woman knows how to use her words with her family in order to build them. The foolish woman uses her words to tear down her family because she does not have Kakam wisdom. Proverbs 15, verse 2, "The tongue of the wise," those with good people skills, "makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Proverbs 17, verse 28, "Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his mouth, he is counted prudent." A person with Kakam wisdom knows when to talk and when to keep quiet. Proverbs 29, verse 11, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back." A person with Kakam wisdom does not allow his anger to be poured out on others. Instead, they have self-control, which is one of the most important types of people skills. Proverbs 31, verse 26, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." This person speaks in such a wise way that others can receive what they are saying because they are kind in speech instead of being harsh in speech. Great people skills. Second type of wisdom, bine. This is wisdom in dealing with life choices. It is having godly wisdom and knowing what to do and what not to do because of the understanding we reap what we sow. God will not be mocked. We can be forgiven, but forgiveness does not always do away with the consequences of our wrong, ungodly, sinful choices. We might not see immediate consequences, but many times they come later and even involve hurting others that are innocent. Bine wisdom is understanding our choices can negatively affect our life and relationships in many ways, and thus we take seriously not making choices that are against God's word, his ways, and his wisdom. We take our choices seriously because we understand God sees what we do and thus decides what he will do with that. Bine wisdom involves the fear of the Lord. Because of the high regard of God and his ways, we don't want to displease him nor reap consequences for our rebellious, stubborn choices that we might not think are a big deal, but in reality, they are a big deal to God. We don't minimize what we think is a tiny bit of rebellion to God, because all rebellion is serious to Him. This has nothing to do with legalism or being saved through good works or being good enough to have God's unconditional love. Nor does it have to do with continually being worried about God's punishment coming down upon us. B'nai wisdom is simply being intentional about surrendering to God's ways because we desire to love Him with all our heart and thus obey Him in all we do. We want His blessings for our obedience and not His consequences for our rebellion and pride. B'nai wisdom is like a boomerang. It's understanding, perceiving, and having discernment that what we throw out there can come right back to us through blessing or consequences. Therefore, we consider carefully as we discern what is best to say or do. We investigate Scripture so we can perceive and pay close attention to what God is warning us about and then not make that choice. These verses in Proverbs are especially speaking about B'nai wisdom. There are many more. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't think, I know better than God, therefore I will trust in my own understanding or what makes most sense to me. B'nai wisdom doesn't do that. It replaces my so-called wisdom with the absolute wisdom of God. Proverbs 7, verse 7, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, the enticing woman. B'nai wisdom is very discerning. It understands the bad that comes along with bad choices, if not immediately, then in the future. Proverbs 15, verse 21, folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. The person with B'nai wisdom does not turn to the right or the left. They don't get off the straight and narrow path. Instead, they stay on the steadfast, secure path of walking in wisdom because they know going off that path only leads to unnecessary trials and hardships. Proverbs 23, verse 1, when you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. B'nai wisdom is when we take the time to consider carefully what is before us. Is it for good or bad? Is it godly or sinful? Will it please God or displease Him? B'nai wisdom assesses before deciding. Proverbs 28, verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. B'nai wisdom is given to the person who seeks to understand the ways of God in all things concerning life and relationships. Evil people or those not wanting to walk with God do not have B'nai wisdom because it's not important to them. What they want is more desirable. Third type of wisdom, sakal. This wisdom is looking at life situations through the eyes of God. Sakal wisdom is the ability to understand God's viewpoint regarding life situations and relationships. We don't focus on our own perspective or understanding. All that matters is God's perspective and His understanding in all He decides. Sakal wisdom asks, what is God's perspective on this? How does God want this circumstance to be handled? How are God's ways higher than mine? How are His thoughts higher than mine? These are some questions a person with Sakal wisdom might ask. Sakal wisdom is a very humble type of wisdom because it realizes God always knows best, even when we don't understand or don't want to do what He requires of us. God knows best, and we put a period on that and not a question mark. Instead of instinctively thinking in a human emotional or realistic conclusion, a person with Sakal wisdom pushes his perspective away while they hold on to the higher ways of God and then proceed forward to act upon those ways instead of their own. Sakal wisdom involves much forethought, cautiousness, and discretion. Therefore, Sakal wisdom does not make rash decisions based on what seems right in their own eyes. The focus is on, would this please God? Is this God's way? How does God look at this? And how does He want me to handle this situation? They continually inquire of God before making decisions, even simple ones such as what to say in a phone conversation with a friend that needs advice. These verses in Proverbs are especially speaking about Sakal wisdom. There are a few more. Proverbs 15, verse 24. The path of life leads upward for the wise, that he may keep away from Sheol below. Sakal wisdom is very aware of heaven and hell. They live their lives to continually look upward toward heaven, where they will one day abide forever with the God they have been faithful to. Proverbs 16:20, he who gives attention to the word shall find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. There are two things a person with Sakal wisdom continually does. One, they continually give attention to the word of God in all life situations. And two, they continually trust in God and not in their own understanding of life situations. The example of Daniel in the Old Testament is worth reading. We see Daniel, who is a man full of Sakal wisdom. He was able to live a very difficult but powerful life that pleased God because he looked through the eyes of God instead of the eyes of man. Notice how Daniel continued to pray as he always had, even though he could be killed for doing that after the king made a decree that no one was allowed to do that anymore. Daniel knew open prayer was important in the eyes of God, Sakal wisdom, because it was a testimony of being a God pleaser instead of a man pleaser. Daniel's Sakal wisdom helped him show everyone he was faithful to God's unchangeable ways instead of succumbing to the culture which continually changes. Daniel had the fear of the Lord instead of the fear of man, Sakal wisdom, because he kept his eyes, his focus, his heart, his choices on the wise perspective of God in all situations with all kinds of people. Daniel 1, verse 17. And as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence, Sakal wisdom in how to look at situations through the eyes of God, and Kakal wisdom in how to deal with people. Daniel 2:14. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment, Sakal wisdom, seeing through the eyes of God, to the captain of the king's bodyguard who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Daniel 2:19 through 23, verse 23. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him, and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom, Sakal wisdom, the ability to see through the eyes of my God and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel 12, verse 3. And those who have insight, Sakal wisdom, the ability to see through the eyes of God, who understand his perspective, his ways, will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Yes, all three of these types of wisdom intermingle, and yes, all can be used at once. Kakam wisdom is more about what to do or not do with people. B'nai wisdom is more about preventing unnecessary consequences by making godly choices. And Sakal wisdom is more about looking through the eyes of God and thus discerning what he would think and therefore want us to do. Simply being aware of these different types of wisdom helps us to slow down and be intentional with our choices in life and relationships. Let's do PAT, practical application time. 5 tools to walking in wisdom. First tool, must have the fear of the Lord. Second tool, must have humility. Third tool, must ask for wisdom. Fourth tool, must diligently seek wisdom. Fifth tool, must apply wisdom daily. First tool, must have the fear of the Lord. The requirement for godly wisdom is having the fear of the Lord. God is very clear in stating we will not obtain his wisdom without our reverential acknowledgement of his greatness and his goodness. The gaining of godly wisdom comes first of all by the fear of the Lord. This is the absolute starting point, being in awe of his mercy, kindness, power, justice, and all of who he is and what he does is a must to having godly wisdom. In this way, we are acknowledging all wisdom comes from him. 7 times in Scripture, the concepts of the fear of the Lord and wisdom are linked together. There is not one without the other. Asking the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide, our helper, in gaining godly wisdom is necessary, since our own thoughts, along with worldly perspectives, can muddle the waters in the absolute truth about God's word and his ways. The Holy Spirit will clarify when we seek his help. God wants us to have his wisdom. Then we can experience our journey on this earth in the way it should be, in a godly, wise way that is effective and influential to those God places across our path. This is doing good works that have eternal blessings. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. Second tool, must have humility. Micah 6, verse 8 declares one of the Lord's requirements. Requirements for his people is walking humbly with our God. Humility and godly wisdom go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Micah 6, verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. This verse contrasts pride and humility. The word for pride used here is zedon, which also means arrogance. This is a person who sees no need for God's wisdom or help in their life because they are overconfident in their own worldly perspectives. They believe they are the master of their own intelligence that is above God's ways of thinking. Their wisdom is above God's, so why would they need His? Pride shows itself by trusting in our own understanding. Humility is the understanding that we must trust in God's wisdom. Isaiah 5, verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Psalm 25, verse 9, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Third tool, must ask for wisdom. James 1, verses 5 through 6, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. In this context, James is speaking of wisdom in reference to those times when we just don't know what to do. What's the best choice? Which way should we go? How do we decide between two different paths? Those who truly trust God will ask Him for wisdom. They will inquire of Him before making a decision. James states that God gives wisdom generously. He's not stingy in providing insight to those who ask how to make the best choices and then trust in Him to guide them. In fact, God gives wisdom away without reproach or finding fault. In other words, He doesn't look at all of our previous foolish choices and decide we are not worthy of receiving wisdom from Him. The God of the universe stands by, ready and willing to give abundant wisdom to those who ask, based only on their trust and confidence in Him, not on their track record. God wants His children to trust Him, and one such evidence is asking Him for wisdom, to inquire of Him before we do anything else. But there is a condition attached to this promise. We must believe and not doubt. In other words, God wants us to come to Him convinced both that He is the one true source of wisdom and that the wisdom He gives is trustworthy, and He wants us to be ready to act on it. The person who doubts God's willingness to give wisdom or doubts God has wisdom for their situation is unlikely to accept the wisdom God gives them. Therefore, they may consult other sources, looking for a second opinion, spiritually speaking. In James's day, those sources may have included false idols. Our modern day has its own share of worthless sources for wisdom: false teachers, pop culture, celebrities, and so forth. The person who doubts God's wisdom, James writes, is like a wave in a windstorm. Who knows where he will end up? He's at the mercy of whichever breeze happens to blow the strongest in that moment, or whatever opinion blows them, whichever way it might. With God's wisdom, decisions are solid because they are based on the word and the ways of God. One way God reveals his wisdom to us is in his word. But the written word is not only one way God supplies us with wisdom. Other scripture encourages us to seek God's wisdom in wise and godly counselors, Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Proverbs 3:13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Isaiah 28:29, this also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Job 12:13, with God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. Fourth tool, must diligently seek wisdom. Be a Berean. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. In context of this verse, this group was using cautious skepticism. They diligently seek for God's wisdom by making a sincere effort to see if what was being taught was actually true from Scripture. This is called diligently seeking the wisdom of God rather than simply having blind faith and thinking whatever we hear is the true meaning of Scripture. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Proverbs 23:12, apply your heart to instruction and your ear to words of knowledge. The entire book of Proverbs centers around the value of godly wisdom, disciplining oneself to seeking out God's wisdom is how a person gains it. It doesn't just drop out of the sky. We must diligently seek godly wisdom through Scripture and pay close attention to what is being said to us. Wisdom is the capacity to act correctly based on the knowledge we have searched for. This means that true wisdom requires intentional choices to not only search the scriptures, but actually do them. Because knowing what is right is not enough. Doing is what must be done. Fifth tool, must apply wisdom daily. Make godly wisdom a part of your daily walk. Chokmah is used most often in the book of Proverbs as godly wisdom. The wise sayings found there show a person how to govern their life. To govern means God's wisdom directs and controls their life. A wise person is not directed nor controlled by the world nor by their own perspectives. So how do we use wisdom on a daily basis? We must be intentional about gathering godly information continually and then consistently putting it into action on a daily basis in our personal situations and relationships. Gathering and doing daily is key to keeping wisdom at the forefront of our minds. Then, the daily intake of God's wisdom will nourish our thoughts, words, and actions as we in turn give that wisdom to others. Living in the daily wisdom of God gives a believer the ability to respond to life situations and relationships in a way that is beneficial. Being foolish in our thoughts, words, and deeds by not knowing nor using God's wisdom does the opposite. It tears down relationships and causes foolish choices. The best example of a wise man is King Solomon. 1 Kings 4:10-11. And yet the story of Solomon that heap such a lavish and glowing praise upon him for his reputed wisdom also points out how Solomon's heart turned away from the Lord. He walked away from godly wisdom. From Solomon's life example, clearly spiritual wisdom is no guarantee that one will walk continually in wisdom. It is a daily choice so we don't drift into foolishness. We can lose the wisdom God has given us by slowly and deliberately letting go of it. Remember B'nai wisdom? The type that understands there is a consequence to our wrong choices, our foolish decisions that are not based on God's wisdom? King Solomon forgot about this. And look at how he said, what he said at the end of his life. It was a waste to walk away from godly wisdom. Instead, he chose worldly foolishness to replace what he had known, and he deeply regretted it. Another way we can use wisdom on a daily basis is to meditate upon God's words and ways. Psalm 1 verses 2 through 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wise person is blessed by God because they delight in the word of God. The Hebrew word translated delight is related to a word that can mean to bend. The blessed person bends towards God's wisdom. They do this by continually thinking about God's word, his ways, and his wisdom throughout the day. Instead of thinking their own thoughts or the thoughts of the world, which can cause ungodly influence and thus foolishness, they are intentional about having God's words influence their life on a daily basis. Godly, worthwhile meditation does not require a person to empty his or her mind. This is New Age protocol, which is not good. Scripture does not support the idea of self-emptying in meditation, but rather, godly meditation means filling the mind with Scripture and then pondering it and thinking deeply about it. To meditate on Scripture involves pondering what the Bible teaches about God's character and his wisdom, and involves thinking deeply about his ways and therefore how we should direct our life in all situations. The wise, blessed person is not influenced by the words of the ungodly, but is deeply influenced by God's word and shows it by continually, daily living it out. Let's recap the five tools to walking in wisdom. The first tool, must have the fear of the Lord. The second tool, must have humility. The third tool, must ask for wisdom. Fourth tool, must diligently seek wisdom. Fifth tool, must apply wisdom daily. Now, on an ending note, here is something very interesting and definitely worth considering. The scholars of the Mishnah, which was the first written record of Jewish tradition, and the Talmud, which is the primary source of Jewish religious law and Jewish theology, states there are seven characteristics that distinguish the wise. First, he does not speak before his superior. Second, does not interrupt. Third, is not hasty to answer. Fourth, asks and answers to the point. Fifth, talks about first things first and about last things last. Sixth, admits when he does not know. Seventh, acknowledges the truth. A final verse for you. Jeremiah 9, verse 24. But let him who boasts, boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Our boast is in knowing God, knowing his wisdom, his ways, and his word, and his character, and then applying it to all aspects of our life. There is no boasting in our own worldly wisdom or in ourselves, but rather our boast is in the wisdom we have on knowing the character of God and how he is good and does good. The focus is always on him. Thanks for listening. Take care. Please subscribe and tell others so they can be encouraged to walk in the wisdom of God. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.